Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We are going to be speaking about something today that I know, it's going to mess a few hearts up today, and that's completely okay because we want to know the truth, we want to receive God's truth, but it's always going to turn out for our encouragement. Amen. Here's a question that I've got for every person watching right now. What are you expecting from God as we speak? Right now, what is going on inside of your heart? What are you believing for? The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us constantly in a state of expectation, believing for more, believing for growth, that we would take more ground, achieve more things. Do you know that's God's will for our life? And we can easily find ourselves out of disappointment and hurt and the grind of continually believing for something. Sometimes we find ourselves shrinking back. And friends, that's not God's will. So right now, I want to encourage you to get your expectation up. Why? Because we tend to see what we expect to see. We tend to hear what we expect to hear. And we expect to feel. We feel the way we expect to feel. And that's just the law of faith, friends. And you know, for some people, they think having perfect faith means that we receive everything from God. That if I was to say to you, how's your faith going? Most people would think, well, have I received everything that I've been believing for? Because that's what Richard is asking. No, I'm not asking that. What I'm asking is, do you believe God can and that God will bring those things into your life? Now, remember, I'm not talking about frivolous things here. I'm not talking about small things. I'm talking about things that really, really matter to us. Things that are pertaining to our relationships. I know that some of us, you've got some family members that are addicted to substances right now, and you've been believing God. Some of you are believing for behaviors to just, to absolutely change inside your partner. And, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, we read of great people of faith, and we've been here before, but let's talk about this again, because this is telling us about people who by faith believed God and they received what they were believing for. And there's a whole list there. And then we find ourselves at verse 35, and it says, women received back their dead. Wow, that's a huge act of faith. It says they were raised to life again. And then it says this, there were others. There were others. Who are these others? These are other people who were also living by faith. It says, but these people, they were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. It says some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. These are people of faith, guys. They were put to death by stoning, and they were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. Wow. It says the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. Have a look at verse 39. These were all commended for their faith. Hang on a minute, I thought having faith meant that whatever I prayed for, you get. That's what faith is. No, faith is believing God can, that God will, but even if he doesn't, I'm still believing this. I'm still believing. It says these were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I know that as I'm speaking right now, there are some people who fit into the category of there were others. You're believing just like your friend is believing, yet they have seen the miracle come to pass, but you haven't. I know that there are many of those things going on in my life right now. Well, friends, this series is about looking behind the scenes. What could possibly be going on when we are believing, just like everyone else is, believing that God can and that God wants to bring great things into our world, but yet it's just not happening? What is that a sign of? Well, let me tell you what it's not a sign of. For some of us, it's a sign of, well, you've been disobedient, or you're a doubter, or you don't have enough faith. You've got a health crisis going on right now, and it's not working out for you. You haven't received your miracle. There must be something wrong with you. Friends, that's not Bible. Actually, could it be something else? And this is what I want to talk to you guys about today. Could it be just a test. It's just a test. It's a test of your faith. And friends, I want to unpack that for us today, because if you get this, then it changes everything as we look behind the scenes of God testing our faith. Did you know that 80% of the stories that we read in our Bible, that we teach our kids in kids ministry, are men and women of God, very godly men and women of God, who were tested on their faith? And I think there is a story that jumps out immediately, and most of us would know the story, and it's the story of Job. The Bible tells us that Job was a wealthy man. He had children. He had livestock. He had a wife. Life was going well for Job. And then all of a sudden, something takes place where basically he loses everything, friends. He loses everything. His children, his livestock, his own health. He loses it all. And we see in Job chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, it says that his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity, Job? Just curse God and die." Now, what does she mean by, "Are you still maintaining your integrity"? Are you still suggesting that you've done nothing wrong? Are you still suggesting that you're doing all the right things? She says, "No, you've obviously done something wrong. So just curse God and die." With a wife like that, who needs a devil, hey? It says, "But Job replied, 'You talk like a foolish woman. Should we only accept good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?' So in all of this, Job said nothing wrong." Good on you, Job. Job didn't receive his miracle yet. Things were pretty bad, yet he just kept loving God and believing God. But friends, what was going on behind the scenes? Well, Job chapter 1, verse 6 says, "One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord." Now, I've got to warn you, there are some freaky things that are going to happen in this passage, and you need to brace yourself. It says, "And the accuser, Satan, came with them." So here comes Satan into God's heavenly court. And God says, "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, wait for it, "I've been patrolling the earth. I've been in Victoria. I've been watching what's going on there, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless. He is a man of complete integrity. He fears God and he stays away from evil." Imagine God talking like that about you. Wow, that's a huge commendation from the God of the whole universe. Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has a good reason to fear God. You always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property." Hey, I want you to notice something. The devil was saying that there was a wall around Job that he couldn't seem to penetrate. Did you know that God can protect us, friends? We are protected by God. I love this. It says, "You have made him prosper in everything that he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out," he says, "and take away everything that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Verse 12 says, this is God speaking, "All right, you may test him." Okay, so God is now allowing a test to take place. And friends, let's just stop right now. Are you even aware that you and I serve a God that allows tests to take place? And some of you are like, "That's just so cruel. Why would God ever do that?" Well, we're going to see there is good reason for that, friends. The Lord said to Satan, "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. You know, God was so proud of Job. He knew that he could get through that test. By the way, I've often said to God, "God, please don't feel the need to have to boast about me to Satan. You can just sort of leave me out of it. You can talk about other people if you like, but you can leave me out of it, God." Hey, here's God boasting about this incredible man. And Satan says, "Well, let me test him." Now, I need you to see something, guys. God never brings evil into our world. I need you to hear that. God never brings evil into your world. But sometimes he does allow it. And you're thinking, "But why? Why wouldn't God just protect us all the time?" Well, friends, you're going to see that it's actually a very unhealthy way to think and to live. If you try and do that with your own children and you protect them all the time and you don't let them encounter a little bit of life, you don't let them encounter some difficult people, difficult trials, touching some hot things once in a while, just so that they can start to learn a little bit about life, you're going to see that it's not great for your kids. And we serve a God who loves us, amen? So let's keep looking behind the scenes. Let's see what Job's friends say to him once all this disaster takes place. Job chapter 4 verse 7 says, "Stop and think." This is what they say to him. "Stop and think, Job. Do the innocent die? When have the upright been destroyed?" Do you know what they're saying? When do bad things ever happen to good people? Friends, be careful of people with a theology like that. Be careful of people who basically suggest to you that you've done something wrong if something bad has come into your life. No! Can't it simply be a test from God that God is allowing? Hang out with the right people, friends. Get into a great life group that regardless of what's going on in your world, yes, there may be some things you may need to change, some different habits, some different attitudes. Yes, I get that. But generally, when bad things are coming into our world, we can't be surrounded by people that go, "Ooh, what have you done? Ooh, maybe this is a curse from the 16th century because of your great, 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 great." No, we're not going to buy into that. We're just going to believe that God is on our side. The Bible says God is for us. He is not against us. Someone needs to be giving amens and high fives, even if it's to yourself right now. No, we need to be people who understand that there are times of testing. And are you surrounded by people that have been through times of testing without getting down on God? Without giving up on their faith, without getting bitter and twisted, look for people that have been through tests and have come out the other side with a clean spirit, with a positive mindset. They are the people that we need to be surrounding ourselves with. Can they stand the test of faith? Do you know, I often hear people say, "Do you know what? I really want a great testimony. I want a great testimony. I want to be able to talk to people about my testimony." Have you ever noticed that the word testimony is made up of the word test, emoni? It's a test, friend. The reason that we want to hear your story is because you went through a test that now becomes an emoni. I don't even know what that means, but that's what it is. You can't have a testimony without a test. Now listen, let me tell you what some of the problems are right now. Let me tell you what the problem is. Let me be really straight with you. Some of you are praying crazy prayers. Actually, they're ridiculous prayers. They're very dangerous prayers. Let me tell you what some of you are praying. I don't know why you're doing this. Stop it. "Lord, use me." Yeah, some of you are praying that prayer and then you're wondering why the tests are coming. Why is that a crazy prayer? Because friends, if God's going to use you, God always tests people before he uses them. That's the fact. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to make a nation out of you. You're going to be somebody that is a patriarch for the whole world." And he definitely is. But what was the test that came his way? Sacrifice his own son. Now we know that God didn't allow it and he didn't do it, but he almost got there. What sort of a test was that? But he passed the test. What about Jesus? Jesus definitely had a huge ministry ahead of him. But God tested him. Do you remember that he was baptized? And the Bible says that he went out into the desert and he was tempted. You know, that word can be translated tested. He was tested. God wanted to see. Now, although it was the devil that did it, God was happy to see. Well, let's see if fame is something that he wants more than loving people. Let's see if riches are more than what he wants to do in regards to loving people. No, God was happy to see Jesus tested and Jesus came out, and the Bible says that when he came out of the desert, he went into the desert filled with the Holy Spirit. He came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you want some power in your life? Well, are you willing to be tested? Is there any room in your theology? Are you able to look behind the scenes and go, "I'm going through a really tough time at the moment. You know, my boyfriend's broken up with me because of my faith," or whatever it is. And you feel like you're going through some really difficult times. Could it possibly be a test so that God can see, well, what matters to you the most? Is God your portion? Is God your reward? Or is it what that guy says, what that person says, what that book says, what that documentary has said? I think God wants to know who matters the most to you. You know, some of us aren't aware of this, but Jesus was not only tested in those different areas. Actually, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 puts it beautifully. It says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing. Two different things, friends. It says, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Friends, did you realize that God can use your test so that you can help others? You can say, hey, I know what you're going through and I can help you through it because God has helped me through it and I can help you. Jesus was tested so that we could say, well, Jesus got through it. He was also fully God, but fully human. And if he got through it, then I'm also gonna get through it as well. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let's look behind the scenes sometimes. Let's not always see trouble as, look, I'm not saying it's good, but can we see that there's a purpose to the trouble in our life? You know, when you start to see it this way, it just changes everything. Do you know, if you're going to be a student in any way, shape or form, most degrees would demand that you go through some sort of testing process. In actual fact, the bigger the qualification, the bigger the test. If you're gonna be a brain surgeon, I hope they put you through some tests. If you're going to be parking cars, I will still hope they're gonna be putting you through some tests, but I would imagine they wouldn't be as stringent as the testing for someone who's becoming an engineer to build the bridge that hundreds and thousands and millions of cars are gonna be crossing over. Now, I would hope there's going to be some testing for the things that actually matter in life. And if you wanna do something great with your life, you wanna be a pastor of a church, you wanna be a CEO of a company, you wanna be a great dad, you wanna be a whole lot of things, great. Are you up for the testing though? Because it's through the testing that we grow. And some of you are like, but I'm going through a test at the moment, but it just seems like God is so quiet. Well, have you ever noticed in school, you know when you were doing your tests, did you ever notice that the teacher was always very quiet? They just let you do your test. And at the end of it all, then they'll speak to you and say, how did you go? And they'll maybe answer some questions. But during the test, the teacher is always quiet. And if we are learning some things right now and you're not really hearing from God, don't know where you stand with God, could it possibly be that God is just watching to see how you're going with your test? You know, I love testing people sometimes myself. I've got a role that I'm planning for somebody. I'd like to see how they would respond. And so sometimes I allow some tests to take place. I really do. I'm not trying to be cruel, but I do want to see what's in people. I do. I want to see that if I accidentally double book them, how do they respond to that? Now you're probably thinking, well, just don't double book them. But don't you think that some of my staff are going to be double booked by people? Don't you think they're gonna encounter that? And if they just lose it because I double book them and they start treating me badly, what are they going to do to the rest of the church people? What are they gonna do to the rest of the people that they're supposed to be loving? No, I wanna test that. I wanna see how they react. Do they have a gentle, kind, forgiving nature? Or do they absolutely lose it and have no patience whatsoever? Hey, get good at testing people. Don't just do it to annoy people, but there's nothing wrong with testing people. Actually, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 says, before you appoint leaders, he says, before they are appointed as deacons, a deacon is just a leader in a church. He says, let them be closely examined. Wait for it. If they pass the test, he says, then let them serve as deacons. Hey, testing people is really, really important. You know, I was in my original church that I got saved in. You know, my mum was a singer, so I was always a bit of a singer and I desperately wanted to be a part of the worship team. And I remember saying to my leaders, hey, I'd like to be part of the worship team. And they said, yeah, yes, but there's a process. Why don't you just get on the sound desk for a while? And then one day we'll let you sing. And I'm thinking, well, that's fair. But you got to remember, like at Lifehouse Church, like we've got sound desks that are like cockpits of an A380 aeroplane, right? Like those things are like magnificent. The thing that I was working on was a little 4-channel mixer that every time you used to put up the little fader, it would go. And this, it was about that big and it had parts falling off it. Anyway, so I did that for the first year and I just thought, you know, I'm just gonna serve my church. And well, you know what? 2 years went by, 3 years went by. Did you know I did that sound for 7 years? 7 years with little headphones on. What I really wanted to do was to be singing and to be song leading. But you know what? If that's what they wanted me to do, but you know what? I've got to tell you, during that time, God did something in here. Because God was saying to me, is it important that you're at the front Or is it important that the kingdom of God grows? Because at the time, no one else could do the sound, and I could do the sound, but there were plenty of people that could sing. And I just wanted to see the kingdom of God grow. I believe God saw my heart that day and thought, well, there's a young man that wants to see the kingdom of God grow. Maybe one day I'll give him a church then. Friends, I'm not boasting. This is not a proud statement. I'm just saying at the time it was so hard, but I believe I passed the test. I wonder what test God is putting you through right now, allowing it to happen in your life. You know, eventually I actually did make the worship team, and I wanted to song lead. I wanted to be at the front. And I had to again check my heart. Well, you know what? God didn't allow that for another couple of years. Instead, I actually had to be the backing vocal for the worship leader. But the problem was the worship leader was always slightly off. He was always slightly out of tune. And if I'm going to do a harmony with this person, then I have to harmonize. Wait for it. I used to have to harmonize out of tune to match the song leader, right? That was pretty hard to, like, that was horrible. Like, God, why don't you just give me the opportunity to do that? Well, no. No, Richard, let me just see your heart. Let me see what you... Now, I know I'm talking about church life right now, but I wonder what tests you're currently going through. Maybe you're under some management right now and they're asking you to do some things and you feel like you deserve more. But you know, in your heart, you've got a dream to one day be a CEO yourself, own your own company, own your own business. You know, Jesus said, if you are not faithful with what is someone else's, then you can never be in charge of what's your own. I wonder if you're just going through a time of testing right now. Come on, friends, allow ourselves to be tested. Amen. Is someone getting something out of this? Because I think this is great stuff. We need to look behind the scenes. Let's have a look at what else testing does. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Listen to this. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Did you know, to end up with pure gold, they have to put it, they've got to boil this thing, they have to heat it up, and eventually all the dross comes to the top. And then they take away, and you know, they've got to continually do that over and over again. All the impurities keep coming up and keep coming up, keep coming up, and then eventually you end up with pure, pure gold. I wonder if God is allowing some of the fires in your life so that you can just get rid of those impurities. You know, for some of us, you're thinking right now, oh, look, you know, I seem to get through things and, you know, really, are tests that important? Well, you know, tests, life is a little bit like this. Like here's you. And then you know, you go to work and things at work are just brilliant. Now, this is cold water. And, you know, when a situation is all fine, everyone loves you, everyone's good to you, everyone's kind, everyone turns up on time, you know, that's so this is you in that environment. And, you know, and so look, and you're loving life. Like, look at that. You're just loving life. And, you know, maybe sometimes somebody might annoy you a little bit, but you know what? It's pretty good. But you know what happens? As soon as we put you into an environment where things get a little bit hot, and actually this has cooled down a fair bit now, but you know what? But even then, as the situation starts to get hotter and hotter in your situation, look at that. All of a sudden, wait for it, we start to see what's in you when you get into hot water. And sometimes the tests of life are the hot water, friends, and we get to see what's in you. The amount of times that I have appointed people to positions in cold water settings, and I'm like, wow, they are ready for the job. Next minute, sorry, I have to just throw that in there. Trials come along, disappointment comes along, hot water comes along, and all of a sudden this stuff comes out of them that I'm like, oh my, I haven't seen that before. What does that mean? I didn't do the testing. I don't actually know what's in them. And friends, I'm wondering, is there a God in heaven, yes, who wants to test you, yes, because he wants the best for you, yes, and he wants to know how strong are you? How strong are you in all of this? How do you respond to failure? For example, you know, I've seen two leaders, both being given two ministries, and in all honesty, in both cases, anybody would basically say that they both failed to some degree. To some degree, they both failed. And it has amazed me how this person can just go, you know what? I learned some things. I wouldn't do that again. I would do that again. Now, hear my heart here. Of course they feel disappointed. Of course they're a little bit hurt. Of course they're a little bit like, God, where were you in all of this? And why did this happen to me? I understand all of that. But this person has just shaken off the dust. I can get on with this. God's got more for me. And there's no doubt about it, flourishing. Other people, they feel like failures, can't seem to shake it off, totally embarrassed, full of pride, and then can't accept the fact that maybe they went through that situation. God, why did you allow it to happen? Do you know what? That puts so much fear. That doesn't put fear. That's the wrong word. That would really concern God, because he's like, well, that means I can't put you into another situation, because if you were to fail again, it could completely destroy you. And friends, As a leader, I just want to encourage people. It's okay to fail. Let's just keep moving forward. But I would love to see what comes out of people during that time. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. I'm going to read this out. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, that's the testing. It says, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, there it is, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You know, I've just recently put a home gym into my home. And, you know, I feel like I'm getting stronger already. But, you know, if I just stick with the same weights that I'm comfortable with right now, I will never grow. No, you've got to load up. Ever so slightly, but you've got to load up. And there has to be a little bit of resistance, because if there's no resistance, there's no growth. Friends, are you up for the resistance? Can you cope with the testing so that God can give you more? You know, I just got off the phone, literally, seriously, a few hours ago, of a man in our church who is currently running a business that is going ballistic. I cannot believe how much he's prospering, but yet 1 year ago, this man lost a lot of money in a deal that he was involved in, and he couldn't get over it. He just couldn't get over it. And I had to say to this man, you've got to trust God that there's more for you. You've got to let that go. You've got to move forward. And he struggled. He even fell into a little bit of depression at one point in time. And he wanted to do some pretty bad things to the person that ripped him off. But he overcame. He won the battle. He passed the test. And now he's running an incredible business. Why? Because God trusts him and he passed the test. What are you going through right now that could possibly just simply be a test that God is happy for you to go through, because he knows you're gonna come out the other side and you're gonna be growing. Amen, in Jesus' name. Friends, come on, I'm gonna wrap this up. Don't go living in unbelief. If things are tough right now, I get it. And I know it's painful, but let's look behind the scenes. Let's pass the test with flying colors, full of faith, believing God for miracles, believing God for signs and wonders and all those wonderful things that we are believing for. Come on, so I know that right now there are some families and there are some things going on in your family life right now with the children, and you're wondering, God, where are you in this? Come on, you be diligent right now. You keep speaking positively over your children, but it's so hard. I know, that's the test. Don't just speak what you see, speak what you want them to be. Don't speak where you're at, speak where you want to be at. Keep speaking those positive things that are gonna build the life that we are believing for. Friends, let's pass the test.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.